Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And, of course, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button or the notify bell next to it on YouTube. And, of course, hit subscribe or download or whatever it is you hit on the podcast app that you're using. We can be found in pretty much every great podcast app out there, including the iOS podcast app. Be sure to leave a rating or a review. It's a really, really great free and easy way to support Going In Raw.
Yeah.
If you want to support us through the Patreon, you can do that as well. We offer a bevy of reward tiers, including watching this podcast as a live stream. We include a pre-show and a post-show for our lovely $5 and up patrons every single month. And it's really great. We're also available on the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw.
Yeah.
I always sometimes forget if it's Steven Larson or Going In Raw. But that one's Going In Raw. Yeah, thank you.
I forgot to add up our prediction points. I'm doing that right now.
Oh, you won by like 10. And it largely because Cody versus Kota Ibushi really screwed me up. That really hurt.
How'd I win by 10? Oh,
yeah, I don't know, because you're only up by like 4 because of that match, but then like the confidence points I think earlier on kind of screwed me up too.
Well, hold on. There's 5, 13, 17, 21, 30. I won by 1.
Right, really? You won by 1?
Yeah, because you got 10, 17. I can't use twice. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's why.
6, 9, 16, 26. I won by 3. It wasn't 10.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you doing? My math is not great. And on top of that, I was counting it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyways, if you guys can't tell, we're talking about Wrestle Kingdom today.
Yeah.
If you couldn't tell from the title and the thumbnail and us talking about our confidence points in Cody versus Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi is the best.
Oh, Kota Ibushi is the best. He's absolutely the best. Early contender for spot of the year. The crossroads onto the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. What a card. What a night. It was so much fun. It kills me. We're going to have to start. Number one, I'd like to commit right now. Right now. Because so we couldn't hook up Office Space.
Tangle of wires over here.
It's all right, man.
It's a mess.
It's a metaphor for our minds right now. We couldn't lock down Office Space in time for Wrestle Kingdom.
So you want to guarantee a live stream, which I'm fine with, but also I'm not saying this outside my own possibility that one year we need to go to Wrestle Kingdom. We've done WrestleMania. We've done PWG.
Yeah.
There's one thing left on our wrestling bucket list, if you will, and that's going to Wrestle Kingdom.
We need to find on my bucket list is NXT taping, but I agree completely. Wrestle Kingdom, yes. We need to be in the first couple rows because look at that place, it's massive.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Here's the thing,
and
though,
I'm not that impressed with the screens that they have to watch the action. That.
But here's the thing, though. Based on my experience going to wrestling shows at various venues, it always looks much larger on TV than what it is.
Oh, yeah. I have
Tokyo
no doubt
Dome,
about that.
I'm sure, is huge. It seats like 65,000.
I have
like
no
that.
Doubt about
it's
that.
It's a huge venue.
Yeah.
But it's not, I doubt it's quite as large in person as it appears to be on TV.
You know, so during 2017, we were lucky enough to have pretty good seats to a variety of places, G1 Special in USA.
Yes.
And we always get, you know, tweeted at by our good friendos out in the Steven Larson Going In Raw community saying, oh my God, I'm watching this thing and I can't not watch you guys because I watch your podcast.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I think it'd be hilarious if we're sitting front row.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just these two idiots.
I know.
But here's the problem with that. We have to figure out. This is going to be, I mean, you're the ticket master. You're going to have to figure out how to get around the fact that apparently they only sell the prime tickets in the front to residents within Japan. We're going to have to figure out a way around that because we're a couple of California elitists.
I got a year to work on it.
Yeah. They're not going to sell these California liberal elitists, Larson. Anyways. Yeah, so figure that out.
All right.
Oh, man. So where to begin? I guess at the top of the show.
Yeah, New Japan Rumble.
So what was our going into this? Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Going into this, what was our strategy? Because we had two different strategies for how to stay awake and approach the show. So I just stayed awake. I just stayed awake. I tried to get a couple hours beforehand, but my kid wouldn't really let me. And so I just launched right into it. And then I ended up taking a couple of very brief naps.
You took the Kramer approach. You took, got 15 minutes of sleep every hour.
Right. Yeah, like, so basically, as soon as a pinfall was, you know, as soon as a victory was had, a hand was raised, I set my alarm for like 15 minutes. And then I took a snoozer because I'm like, I don't need to see all the entrances.
And all the video packages.
All the video packages and stuff. Although I love them. I think they're all great. So I'm going to get my snoozer. And by and large, it worked. There was a couple times when I woke up a little deeper into the matches.
Than you would have liked.
Than I would have liked. Like I missed, I think, the first half maybe of Tanahashi, Jay White. But I saw some great spots in that.
Yeah.
They did a good job replaying stuff. But anyways, what was your approach? You went to bed and woke up
at
like 2 or something?
I was going to try to sleep till 3, but then I woke up about 1:45. I know.
I was talking about you on Twitter.
And then I appeared.
Yeah, and then you appeared.
I woke up just in time. I turned on Wrestle Kingdom just in time to see the last 5-8 minutes of Suzuki Goto.
Okay.
And so I watched from that point on live.
Mm-hmm.
I had something I had to do this morning. And so once I got done with that.
Oh, were you successful with that?
Yeah.
Good.
Once I finished that, then I watched the rest of the show. Finished about 10:45.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Last thing I watched was New Japan Rumble.
Oh, that's a good way to go out.
Well, I mean, I want to make sure I watched the entirety of the main card because that's going to be, you know, what we're going to be talking about the most.
Yeah.
New Japan Rumble is just kind of something funny to talk about.
I'm going to go an hour on the New Japan Rumble.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I've got comprehensive notes. Let's see.
All about Chase Owens, I'm sure, yes.
Let's see what my notes cover up through... Killer Elite Squad versus LIJ.
Oh, man, I can talk about them for an hour.
I can talk about Killer Elite Squad for an hour. Oh,
wow.
My God. Those guys are mean.
Yeah, man.
They're legitimately mean.
They don't like young lions, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's kick it off at the beginning, the New Japan Rumble.
New Japan Rumble.
It's funny. I don't
pre-show.
Have actual notes about the New Japan Rumble.
I have a couple here. Bushi and Kitamura were the first two in the New Japan Rumble.
Now, last year, I think Elgin kicked it off.
Yeah,
and he ended
right.
up winning the entire thing. So I was like, oh my God, are they going to have a young, because when I was thinking of a genre of wrestler who hasn't won the New Japan Rumble yet,
young lion,
there's been like the old guys. There's been the Gaijin, Michael Elgin last year. And then there's been another, I forget who it was,
but not young lion,
right? But not young lion. That genre of wrestler had not won
yet. Instead, young lion in the match got pinned by Chase Owens.
Yes. Chase Owens came through, man.
Yeah. Eliminated two people by himself,
mm-hmm.
Kitamura and I think Delirious,
mm-hmm.
and then took part in eliminating Nakanishi, I think.
Yeah.
He was eliminating everybody, probably the MVP, at least for the early part of New Japan Rumble.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I was kind of bummed out because my pick was Yuji Nagata.
Yeah.
He showed up pretty early. I felt pretty burnt about that because your guy Kojima showed up pretty late. And I was like, man.
He was the Final Four.
I know. And he got eliminated by Cheeseburg. I had never heard of
Masahito
Kakihara.
Yeah.
Never heard of him before.
Yeah, he wrestled in, you know, based on his pants, UWF.
Right.
But I think he has some experience in New Japan, too.
And then he had some sort of, like, sponsorship from Water, apparently?
Well, I don't know what the Water shirt was about, but he has the Takayama shirt. Takayama was paralyzed.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
during
yeah.
during a show
yeah.
earlier this year
yeah.
at DDT. DDT Pro, and I think Suzuki has started some sort of fundraising effort.
Right, and he was trying to, bring some awareness to that.
Yeah. And I believe Kakihara himself is a cancer survivor.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Yeah, so, that's what they mentioned on the thing. So that's awesome,
yeah.
That's great. You know, I'm all for that.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of some other standouts. I'm going to my Twitter feed right now, or to our Twitter feed.
I mean,
sorry.
Cheeseburger was in the match. That's
Cheeseburger was in the match forever. He got the biggest pop!
I know, man.
Like, one of the biggest pops of the night was for Cheeseburger. And we got to see those great chops of his.
Mm-hmm.
Those were so much fun. Yeah, I had a hard time. I was watching. I was like, man, I am having a terrible time predicting who's going to win. Because every time you're like, oh, man, I think he's going to win. And then he didn't. And like, oh, he's going to win.
Well, like I said, for the first half of the match, Chase Owens was a star.
Oh, yeah. And then I love that they had, what's his name? The tall Tonga kid?
Oh,
Louis?
Leo.
Leo.
Yeah.
Always just Louis Tonga. Yeah, he came out. He still looks lost.
He is a young lion.
I know he's all tall.
He's kind of bypassed.
Yeah. So let's see. I have
but
him.
Who was that Australian wrestler who was in it?
Okay, so there is Juicy Gambino.
Yeah, him.
Gino Gambino.
I'd never heard of him before.
So one of our friendos alerted, I think me or us, to the fact on our Twitter account
that he was kind of given honorary Bullet Club status by Fale a couple months ago in Australia. I guess from what the commentary said, New Japan is doing some outreach to Australia as well as the United States. Yeah. So he's part of that. But he came out and I was like, man, if that one Twitter follower had not, or if that one friendo had not alerted me to that, I'd be like, who is this creator wrestler coming out right now? And then Peyton Royce put up an Instagram post of her and him from like 2013 because they used to tag together in Australia. And he was like super thin like 4 years ago.
That's interesting.
And then he comes out and he's a hoss. I'm like, and then somebody on Twitter said that he looks like he could be in fun wrestling. I'm like, yeah, I agree with that completely. And then, so yeah, it was him. Let's see here. Okay, so that's, and then Yoshihashi came out and I was like, please, no, not him. He's removed Loose Explosion from his pants.
Yeah.
I still didn't want to see him win.
You know, they mentioned commentary, who were great last night, as always.
Yeah.
Mentioned that he has almost won the New Japan Rumble twice.
Really?
Yoshihashi has, And we'd see Yoshihashi again later in the evening.
Yeah. Being ineffective as usual.
Well, he did what he needed to do.
One of our good friendos, the Mayor Pete, tweeted at us last night, the ring entrance is awkward, and I realized what he's talking about. Because
For the Rumble?
Yeah, for the Rumble.
Because they come in where normally people leave after their matches.
So they have to like, you know, maneuver through a maze of chairs.
Yeah, it's like WrestleMania 17, right, where the ramp lasted forever.
Yeah, but except in this case, they had to maneuver. Got to get to the Rumble right now.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct path.
Oh, and then I thought Finley Jr. was going to win it. Dave Finley was going to win it. I thought he was going to win it.
No.
Because he's been doing some really good work there.
Yeah.
Like with the Young Lions and stuff. I was like, hey, maybe they're going to, you know. But then, no, that didn't happen.
No.
And then I just gave up and I said, I'm done predicting this. It was easier when Elgin just wouldn't move for anyone. That was my final heavy sigh. And then I was mad that Kojima got one of the last spots. And then Kakehara won. That was fun when, who was it? Was it Tenzin and Kojima went full steam ahead, full sprint at Cheeseburger and Kakehara.
And they got out of the way and they ran into each other.
I popped big for that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because it meant that you didn't win that particular prediction.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I would. There's long odds and predicting the winner of the New Japan Rumble. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
anyways, fun start to the show.
Yeah, it was great.
The main card started off with the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson.
Full heel, man.
Nick Jackson.
Ooh, full heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking on Roppongi 3K.
Roppongi. So this is kind of cool. I like that they're kind of continuing on.
Oh, they're definitely not just continuing on the story of Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice. This is literally the same story.
Right, exactly.
But I think it's going to be the flip side of it where... in the end, it's going to be Roppongi 3K coming away with those straps.
Yeah. No, this is great. Bucks are, like I said, they were playing pure heel here. We got some cool spots to kick it off. We got some dueling sharpshooters.
Yeah.
Pretty early on, Yo, I believe it was.
Yeah, hurt his back on a tope.
On it, yeah. They did stereo tope, topes, excuse me. And Yo seemed to jack his back up.
Yeah, they said his lower back hit the edge of the ramp.
I don't think that's actually true because he was fine. But that became part of the story is that he did that. Nick Jackson hit a German suplex on the apron for him to kind of take him out for a little bit.
I love that part where they chase down Rocky Romero and Matt Jackson, or it's a super kick from Nick.
Yeah.
Ramp powerbomb. From Matt brutal. On Rocky, it kept him out of the match for pretty much the entire duration.
And then, in kind of an homage to Trent's plancha nothing, Matt flew over the ring rope.
It wasn't a plancha. He was trying to do something. Yo evaded him, and he just ended up flying over the top rope and landed
on nothing.
Just Matt.
And so that became his part of the flip side of that. So both teams were dealing with back injuries.
So Nick had a carry the load for the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Show had to carry the load for Roppongi 3K.
Show had a pretty impressive double German suplex on the Bucks at one point. Man. That was really cool.
That was cool.
That was always fun. I like the, let's see here. Matt gets Yo and sharpshooter. Oh, Yo got to the ropes. We had stereo single leg crabs on the Bucks.
Yeah, kind of harkening back to the revival spot.
Right, DIY. I know. Man, I'm kind of hoping WWE has nothing left for the revival at this point. I don't know when their contract ends. I imagine they probably sign new contracts when they go to Maine. Maybe. So they're probably locked up for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I really want to see, at this point, I really want to see Revival versus Young Bucks.
Oh, I know.
That needs to happen.
That needs to happen immediately.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't wish injury upon anybody, but maybe someone in the Revival gets hurt again very soon. Those WWE people say, "All right,
yeah, you're good, you can go."
And they'll go straight to New Japan,
yeah,
and getting a prolonged feud with the Young Bucks.
That'd be great.
Young Bucks went over, hitting a Meltzer driver on Yo, and then followed that up with a sharpshooter. He tapped out.
Yeah,
but again, I think this match is kind of a distillation of the three matches between Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice, and I think that same thread will continue, just the mirror image.
Now, the Young Bucks said, I don't know why I'm having such problems
with
my throat.
They're
going to raise the titles to the rafters, but I thought I heard in the press conference or the little promo thing they did before, they were going to retire the titles?
Oh, is that what they said?
Well, maybe not. Don't quote me on that. They said
they're going to put something to the rafters.
Yeah.
Like retiring jerseys.
Well, yeah, when I think of raising it to the rafters, it means you're going to retire them.
Maybe they're just going to retire from the junior heavyweight.
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping. Yeah. That's what I was kind of hoping. But now that they have the titles, they can't just say, okay, we're not going
to. Well, they could vacate them if they wanted to.
They could.
So but then exciting. They wouldn't be able to continue the story, which needed to be continued.
I know, exactly. So maybe they'll drop them at Dominion or something?
Yeah, that's
or
what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I try to predict freaking New Japan. I can't predict anything.
Drop them at a Strong Style Evolved.
There you go. We might see it happen.
Or Sakura Genesis, which happens like 2 weeks later.
Next up, we had the never overweight six-man tag team gauntlet.
These matches are always a mess, but they're always fun.
They're always so much fun, especially when you inject Yano in there. And this was won by our good friend Trent.
Yes.
Very excited about that. I was very excited
about
that.
Picked up the win, I know. Before all that, though, we saw how awkward it was with Michael Elgin and War Machine being
together.
Oh, that
was the best.
And then Kevin Kelly kind of talking around the whole situation.
I know. They have to address it, but then they talk around it. So for anybody who doesn't know, there was like some internet drama kind of thing involving some like weird sexual harassment, sexual whatever stuff. But like one of the funnier side aspects of it was Michael Elgin had some DMs leaked. And in those DMs, he had said
he'd run down
Jeff Cobb
because he was always hanging with War Machine.
All he wanted to do was hang out with War Machine. So War Machine started a hashtag hanging with War Machine, which was hilarious on Twitter. And then, at the last show or one of the road twos, I think, maybe I forget what it was. No, it was Tag League. I think, they took on Cobb and Elgin. And War Machine, like every time the camera was near them, like not during the match, but like during the intro and the outro, they would be running down Michael Elgin to the camera. They're like, F Michael Elgin, he's F him, blah, blah, blah. And so it was, fairly obvious that they were responding to his DMs. And then Gato, apparently, who's the head booker at New Japan, put Elgin with War Machine.
This is probably War Machine's last show with New Japan.
I think either Reiro or Hansen tweeted out like it's sort of a goodbye to the Tokyo Dome. So they'll be showing up in NXT soon.
Yeah, at some point. They started the match against Suzuki Goon.
Man,
which was
Zack Sabre Jr. is a treasure.
He is. It was Zack Sabre Jr. It was Taichi and Iizuka.
Iizuka's a mess, man. You see him in the beginning.
He's a disaster.
Like, how can you have a guy like that on your team? I know he's like a monster and everything, but he's so unpredictable. He just like roams off into the crowd and stuff.
I know. And he has that metal claw type deal.
The aluminum foil.
Like, what's to keep him from using it against you?
There was a couple times when he almost did that.
Team Suzuki Goon, you could be the end of what, the Iron Claw, whatever they call it.
It's like me bringing Steel Gypsy claw into a match. I don't know what she's going
to
do.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
You know, she's probably going to attack me.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea.
Probably. Anyways, you could probably tell that War Machine was heading out the door because Zack Sabre Jr. Choked out Ray Rowe.
Yeah.
Ref stopped.
Got the stoppage
that
on Ray Rowe.
Particular part of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Team Chaos, Yano, Ishii, Trent. I mean, this is potential right here for Tag Team 2018.
Oh, absolutely. Of the year. Absolutely, man. Yano got the low blow.
On Taichi, after he ripped away his tearaway pants.
Yeah, that's right. He got that.
That's
spot
always the
in.
Best.
That was good. Trent was being used as a weapon. He was being
kind of beat dummy.
Yeah, and beat dummy, exactly.
But he did get his moment.
He did, yeah. So, anyways, Chaos ends up eliminating Suzuki Goon. I was upset because at that point, that was my pick for this match.
Yeah. Next out was Taguchi Japan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't last very long.
No, they didn't, because Taguchi was doing a Nakamura impression.
Oh, that was funny.
That was funny.
Because when he did it under his pants,
yeah.
That or like between his legs, that
yeah,
was funny.
Yeah, and then he was doing kind of like a running hip attack a la Kinshasa.
Right, yeah.
Got rolled up by Yano.
Yeah.
Yano pinned him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Next, Bullet Club. And again, this fall didn't last very long.
Although, did you notice that the only time during the entire night, this is why Chase Owens is now kind of in, like C-lister now, not D-lister. He's the only guy who used Bullet Club theme. These guys use Guerrillas of Destiny. Nobody else used Bullet Club.
I thought I heard it one other time.
Cody didn't use it. Cody wasn't even branded Bullet Club at all.
No.
Starting to wonder if ever since he lost that title and dyed his hair, is he even really Bullet Club anymore?
I don't know.
Probably is.
I felt like we heard it one other time though.
Well, we can maybe figure that out. They weren't part of a tag team.
Does Tokyo Pimp have his own theme? Because he was in New Japan Rumble.
He was in the New Japan Rumble. He might have had Bullet Club theme. I don't remember.
Maybe
I was too busy looking at his valet.
Anyways, Trent picked up the win for Team Chaos, pinning Tama Tonga after hitting a Dude Buster. So despite the fact that he was kind of used as a weapon and beat Dummy
early, he got the pin, man.
He got the pin.
That was awesome.
Great moment for Trent going in Raw Wrestler 2018.
Congratulations, right there. Trent, going in Raw Wrestler 2018.
Yes. Next, Kota Ibushi, who's quickly becoming one of my favorites.
He was
one of my favorites, but now he's like top five.
Maybe. Yeah, versus Flash Gordon.
Cody.
Cody looked like Flash Gordon, man.
Yeah,
those pants and everything.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
He looked like $1 million. Brandy looked like $1 million mm-hmm. playing full heel.
Oh, yeah.
Cody's character work is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And when he's in there with somebody who's like a super special wrestler, like Okada, like Kota Ibushi,
mm-hmm.
he's able to raise his game to that level.
Yeah.
So this was a really fun match.
Yeah, it was. Early on, Kota hit a springboard plancha onto Cody and Brandy.
Yeah.
Knocks them both down. He goes over to check on Brandy, feeling bad for, you know, laying her out.
Mm-hmm.
Picks her up, turns around, and then Cody just sucker punches
him. Oh, that was great.
And then he starts working over Kota's neck because he has a history of neck issues.
Yeah.
And that kind of culminated with Cody hitting Crossroads off the apron onto the ring mat below and Kota Ibushi landing right on his head.
On his head. That was that spot. It was like, that was crazy. It's a Crossroads onto nothing, man. That was, dude. Oh, my gosh. That was insane.
Kota was selling it.
And then he barely made the 20 count. That was actually the closest 20 count I think I've seen in a little while.
I think he got on the apron at 20.
I know he did, because he was like, at 18, he started to get up and collapse. And I was like, why are you doing that? And then he hopped back in at 20.
But he really sold that Crossroads for a while. Like, he couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of feel like in a lot of ways. And people, I know, criticize New Japan for their lack of selling at times. But when they sell something, they sell something.
Oh, I know. No, I think it's fantastic. Uh-oh, you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, God, spazzing out.
No, I got something in my eye.
Eye lasers. Let's see here. We had Cody hitting a Hunan Kanrana off the top turnbuckle. That was fun.
Yeah, something he doesn't do every day.
No.
Kota eventually came back, hit a last ride on Cody.
Well,
Cody
first he freaking lawn darted Cody into the corner.
Oh, sorry, yeah. How can I miss that?
That looked nasty.
Cody was going for Crossroads. Cody reversed it, just threw Cody.
Don't worry. The next match is my last one where I got notes, and it's all you.
All right. Kota throws Cody right to the corner, lawn darts him.
Yeah.
Kota's the best, man.
Kota is the best. It was a freaking Crossroads onto the floor. It was like the second row pile. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
I know, man.
And he just landed right on his head.
Pretty much right on his head, I know.
Oh, man.
Kota's the best because he has three finishers. He hit the last ride.
Yeah.
Which is not even a signature in this match.
I know.
And then he has that knee,
mm-hmm.
which it seemed like he took a little easy on Cody. Some of the other matches, man, it looked like he just obliterates people's face with that knee.
When he does it to like Kenny, it's like,
oh, my God.
Oh, man.
And then he won with the Phoenix Splash.
Mm-hmm.
Great match. Kota's the best.
Yeah, Kota is the best.
And, I agree with that. Commentary was saying, I didn't hear exactly what Cody said, but that Cody was alluding to something between Omega and Kota's history.
So I saw
during his trash talk.
Yeah, I saw a GIF where he said something like, Kenny doesn't love you like I love you, or something like that. I don't know. I forget what it was. So, yeah, he was trash talking about Kenny. So they're setting something up with Kenny. I mean, they've been alluding that for a while. Kenny said he wants it. Kota Ibushi said he wants it.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's awesome.
Hallway moment. What was that after?
That was after Dominion.
After Dominion.
After Cody, or sorry, Kenny lost to Okada.
Were they hugged? They enemy hugged?
Kind of. It was an awkward hug, and then Kenny walked away, and Kota looked all forlorn in the hallway.
And they did some cross fades.
Yeah, they faded across, yeah.
Oh,
it was pretty
man.
Great.
So, let's talk about Killer Elite Squad.
Oh, my gosh.
Might be my new favorite thing in the world.
Man, they're like the meanest.
So, tell me.
They learned a lot from Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, they have. Are you sure that you want to be present at a Killer Elite Squad match, given that Lance Archer...
I know
Archer,
his entire gimmick is spitting water on people and then throwing said water bottle into the crowd.
One of my favorite things is hearing the crowd gasp. Like they're at a... Remember that dude Gallagher?
Yeah.
You know, like they're at a comedy show. Because honestly, it's not like, oh, this is horrible. I mean, it is because it's so hygienically unsound.
Yeah.
But it's they seem to get a big kick out of it.
I know.
So yeah, he goes into the crowd. It's always unpredictable. Like he'll just veer off into the crowd and start going, spitting at everybody.
I know.
It's really gross.
It is gross, but it's funny to watch from afar.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic.
Archer especially, I can't speak to what he's like outside the ring, but when he's in the ring, he is mean.
So somebody, I forget who this is again. I'm not sourcing our Twitter followers. Said that they met him at like a relatively recent show.
Yeah.
No, it was Davey Boy. I think it was Davey Boy Jr. Said that he's like the sweetest guy he's ever met, like outside of the squared circle. Or
well,
whatever.
Inside the ring, Davey Boy seems a little mean too.
Oh man, he's mean. They both do. They both have Steiner demeanor.
Yeah.
They both kind of have Steiner demeanor.
Was Davey Boy wearing a mouthpiece?
Yeah.
Because it made him look like he had like really bad veneers on his teeth. But like just one tooth all the way across his mouth.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Did you notice that too?
Yeah, I did. But I just chalked it up to mouth guard.
Yeah, I did too. But I was watching on my iPad.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Definition's not the best
it
on
did look pretty
video
goofy,
like
yeah.
that. So I was going to make sure it was mouthpiece and not.
And he's wearing jeans. And I always just think, because he looks exactly like his dad. And so I just think of when Davey Boy came back to when Bulldog came back to WWF in like 98, I think, and he just wore jeans a lot. He didn't wear his, you know, it was like, oh, it was Attitude Era. I'm going to wear jeans.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You know? So it just reminds me of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So pretty much right as the bell rang, Killer Elite Squad hit their finisher on Evil. Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I feel like Evil was kind of a non-factor in this match. And in fact, I honestly
there's a stretch in the middle where he after Sonata got beat up.
Yeah.
The Evil kind of got some offense.
I kind of feel like Killer Elite Squad should not have lost this match.
Oh, no.
It was like 80% them just dominating.
It was like 95.
To like a ridiculous
between
degree.
Between Sonata and Evil and the Young Lions at ringside, Killer Elite Squad beat the hell out of all of them. Because right after, shortly after the
and
finisher.
And how tall is Archer? I think Sonata's a
six,
tall
seven.
Guy. Oh, my God. He's so
six,
huge.
6'7", I know. So Sonata breaks up that pin, so... L.I.J. don't lose immediately. Pretty shortly after that, Killer Elite Squad just goes to the outside and starts beating up Young Lions.
Yeah.
No real reason.
Just laying them out.
Because they'd already beat up Sonata and Evil. They were laying in the ring or outside. So they went out and
beat
up
Young Lions.
They
wanted a challenge of some sort.
So they went to beat up Young Lions.
Yeah.
At one point, Archer chokeslams Evil onto Young Lions after they beat him up again.
That's right.
They stood him up.
That's right.
And he chokeslammed Evil onto like four of them.
Was this when he did it out of the ring? Like he was okay. Yeah, that was. Oh man, that looks scary.
That was great.
That was fantastic. I mean, they're all just. It was like they were just treating everybody like trash.
Yeah.
And LIJ was no more effective at this than the Young Lions are. They were treating LIJ like Young Lions.
Yeah, they definitely treated the LIJ victory. I won't say exactly like a fluke. But
yeah.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was like a plucky underdog victory. And I'm like, it's LIJ. They're supposed to be the cool badasses.
I know. And they're playing underdog face.
Right, exactly. Yeah, super underdog face.
I mean, literally, I could have written an entire list of just the mean stuff Archer did.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He threw Evil off the top rope, overhead suplex style.
Yeah.
Vicious.
Yeah.
They hit a killer bomb on Sonata. He kicks out.
He kicked out of that, which is crazy.
And they tried to hit one on Evil. Evil reversed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sonata eventually scored the win after a moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe LIJ hit, a magic killer before that?
Yeah.
On Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah, LIJ hits magic killer. Sonata hits a moonsault. LIJ gets the pin.
Yeah, but it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they ever rematch at a New Year's Dash tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was...
Man, Killer Elite Squad is mean.
They're mean, dude. They're
super mean.
I love them.
Super mean.
All right, let me...
Next.
Load up your notes, because I'm done
Minoru
with
Minoru Suzuki versus Hirooki Goto. This match, speaking of mean, very early on, Minoru Suzuki climbs up to the second rope and puts a chokehold on Goto and just doesn't let go. He's like, you know, holding him up.
Yeah.
He passes out. Kayfabe.
Kayfabe.
He drops him. Doctor comes in the ring, checks on him, and Goto's selling it, like rolling the eyes in the back of his head.
So yeah,
like, he was really selling it. Yeah, he sounded like he was really jacked up. And from that point on, Suzuki more or less had the upper hand, and it was just all slaps.
It was all
palm
slaps.
Strikes.
It was just like meat. Like, remember that scene in Rocky where he's just like slapping around meat?
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was just like dead meat. And Suzuki was laughing his way through it all.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know.
Every once in a while, Goto would get a little flurry of offense in, and Suzuki would laugh it off.
Yeah.
Until it got to the point where Goto seemed like he was starting to chip away, get the upper hand a little bit. Suzuki Goon tries to get to the ring. Young Lions are holding most of them off.
They're saying, we're not having, you know, we just got our butts whooped by Killer Elite Squad.
Taichi tries to get in the ring with a chair, but is fended off. Well, not really. Yoshihashi shows up and grabs onto his leg, and so Goto could hit Taichi, keep him from getting involved. And again, Suzuki just slaps the hell out of Goto. There's that one point where he just slaps him for like 2 minutes straight. Puts him in a sleeper.
Oh, it was great.
It was great. One of the things in this match is every time Suzuki would go for the gotch pile driver, he couldn't hit it. Goto would always find a way to reverse it. Eventually, there's a spot at the top rope. Goto reverses whatever Suzuki was trying to do into like a super neck breaker.
That was fun.
Across his knee. Suzuki kicks out. But then, Goto eventually wins with two GTRs, one from the front, one from the back. New never open weight champ.
Yes.
And so Suzuki Gun gets in the ring, leads Suzuki away. You know, but you know,
when he comes to about halfway through, he like pushes everybody
he's
away.
He's like, hey, I made this deal.
Yeah.
I have to cut my hair.
Because it was a hair versus hair match.
Yeah.
So he gets in there. Goto's holding the.
No, no, before that, he on his way to the ring, he grabs a chair. So thoughts in your head. He's first, he's going to destroy some young lions.
And
then he's going to take that chair to Goto.
Yeah. No, I figured, I actually figured he was going to get in there and do, and not exactly do what he did, but I figured he was going to get in there and take it like a man. You know, I figured he was going to do that. I didn't realize that he just wanted his own chair to destroy the other chair that was already set up there. He's like, you're not going to lay out a chair for me. And so but I did figure he would take out some young lions first.
Yeah.
He gets in there, he destroys the other chair, like, you know, baseball bats the other chair with his chair, gets down, grabs the razor, and he starts going in the most violent fashion to his hair, and the crowd starts gasping because it's supposed to be like, he's doing this stuff, and then he just like throws it and goes away.
He puts the wad of hair on the chair, and then
he slams it down, he spikes it,
and walks away.
So that was cool, and you know what? On his Instagram this morning, he looks like $1 million still.
Yeah, man.
He's got his head. And it's funny because there was kind of a tell there when he showed up. You can tell because, you know, he has his hair like at like a number, I'd say 3.
No, it's not even that long.
Yeah, like a number 2 or number 1 or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but he has the pattern cut. It looked longer this time.
Traditionally, yeah, and it looked longer. It was like a number 3 or so. Yeah,
3 or 4. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to lose.
He's going to lose, yeah. And then I was, as soon as it started, I was like, wait a second. Goto. He's like a super baby face right here. He's not going to lose.
But also just think about the story overall. It made a lot more sense.
Well, I haven't really been keeping up with the story. Oh. You know?
Okay.
So I didn't even know until like 2 days ago it was a hair versus hair, man.
Next, Fatal 4-Way for the Junior Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Hiromu Takahashi versus Kushida versus Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll.
How do you like Marty Scurll's art project?
Man, that was crazy. It popped up on the ramp with these giant wings.
So it looked great when he was standing still, but when he was walking, it was so obvious that he was like, this is so on the verge of falling apart. Because the goggles were kind of wonky.
Hold on. While we're talking about entrance attire, what did you think of Kenny Omega's getup?
It's too much, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too much.
And it was not befitting like the serious tone of the match.
No, I know. Dude, I know you want to be video game guy. That's admirable. That's awesome. Video games are hot right now. You're a huge video game nerd. Maybe dial that down a little bit with your in-ring persona guy. No, because like you said, this is a no DQ match that we knew going in was going to be pretty brutal, and it was.
Yeah, it was.
He shows up was like an Overwatch thing or something.
I don't know what it's from.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But like the gun especially.
Way too
look
much.
Like home art project.
It's way cooler to do this than it is to bring out some cardboard, some
oversized cardboard,
some spray painted, yeah, gun. Some bedazzled cardboard.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
Yeah, but anyways, I think Skrulls looked really cool.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
It's just obvious when he was walking, this thing looked like it was 2 seconds from just falling completely apart.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, points to him. Who was it? Somebody put it on Instagram or Twitter. I think it was Cody. He did like a selfie, but in the far background was Skrull, and he was just sitting there, and his wings on his lap, and he's like, you know, he worked so hard for this outfit for you people.
That's funny.
This is the idea that he made that himself, which you know he did. If it was WWE, they'd have somebody do it.
Oh, I know.
But he made this himself. That's so great. Anyways. I mean, this match was as fun as we figured it would be.
Yeah. Will Ospreay came out pretty much on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the top rope and then stepped off Kushida's back and did a hurricane run on somebody. Just some spots. He's fast. He's quick. He's super athletic. He's amazing. No, everybody in this match is amazing.
Yeah, they are. And the story, the funny thing is they're like four such disparate personalities, and that made it work.
Yeah.
You know, that really made
it
work.
And everybody had opportunities to shine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The finish... I'll skip ahead to this for a second because I always assume that the finish of this match would have happened in a one-on-one match where Ospreay definitively finally got the win over Skrull.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I picked Ospreay to win, but I was kind of surprised that he ended up pinning Skrull to win back the title. I thought maybe he would have pinned somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skrull said, hey, I want my belt back one-on-one, and that's when Ospreay would have got the win over Skrull.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I like the idea behind this, though. I mean, it's so they don't often do, and I'm not saying this is, I know this because I'm a historian.
No, we've just heard they don't often do
multi-man singles matches.
Yeah.
And so especially not on this big stage for this title. And so I think maybe there might be the idea that they don't do it often, and so it makes it an even bigger deal for him. Maybe the point of view from like Gato or New Japan Creative or whatever is this is an even bigger deal because he's essentially beating three other people at once. That's one of the biggest things about New Japan that we're learning, and it's been a year that we've been watching it, but we're still learning, especially given what happened with the main event, is the mindset of their creative is so different than what we're used to with WWE.
Yeah.
We still have this ingrained thing. It should be Naito's time now. And it's like, no, that's not how it works here. And if you think about the storyline for Okada, it actually makes so much sense that he won last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if there is simply that difference of...
Oh, it absolutely could be. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that could be the reason why.
There was this great moment where Takahashi gets taped to the barricade by Skrull, and he finally breaks three.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks free, sorry.
Oh, apparently, I'm sorry. Somebody in chat, AO Worm, says Carlos Guzne said it was a Destiny reference, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're talking about with Kenny's entrance attire.
And he finally cuts himself free. And he gets in the ring and starts dropping sunset flip power bombs on everybody.
Oh, God.
God, that was insane. The crowd was going crazy for it.
I know, but I hate that move so much.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, because there's nothing good that comes from it. Like, you have to...
I mean, yeah, it looks great. If you don't think about the repercussions
on
a person's brain.
Yeah, I really wish that when they did that, they would do more of a thing where they do a sunset flip, and then they kind of launch, and the person can kind of shoot themselves off, as opposed to simply, like, you know, pancaking themselves against ground.
Yeah.
You know, it looks because like the odds of you hitting the back of your head
are pretty good. I know.
Yeah. Oof. Anyways, that's just me being a grumpy old man. Well, I want to see people get hurt.
There's this point where Marty Skrull and Will Ospreay were kind of working together.
Yeah, that was fun.
Take out Takahashi and Kushida. Kushida got his own sunset flip powerbomb on Takahashi.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just a lot of really good character stuff from Skrull.
Yeah.
That part where he threw powder in Kushida's face.
Oh, that was cool.
And Kushida just kind of on instinct hits Back to the Future on him.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
man.
What?
Skrull hitting everybody with that umbrella. That first shot on, I think it was Taking Time Bomb, just nailed him flush with that umbrella. I mean, by the time he got to Kushida, it was already kind of
busted up.
So
yeah.
But that first shot, man, that was a freaking unprotected headshot with an umbrella.
Pretty much.
That was pretty harsh. That was loud.
Ultimately, Ospreay hit a Skrull with the Os Cutter, picked up the win.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Really fun match.
Yeah, it was great. Next up, we had Jay White versus Tanahashi for the Intercontinental Championship. You mentioned this off camera, so like, I figure this match would go longer, although when I, you know, when you think about it, there's no way it should have been. He's all busted up.
He's got a torn bicep, busted up knee. Although they were being really clear on commentary last night. They were like, this isn't a new injury or something that happened, like a, some sort of new trauma to Tanahashi's knee. This is wear and tear.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean it can't be really bad.
Yeah.
And he looked like at several points that his movements were not as fluid or as crisp as they normally are.
Yeah.
Which makes complete sense if he's got some sort of knee injury.
So this was one of the not by much, but this is one of the shorter matches of the card. It was 19 minutes, which surprised me. I figured it'd be like 12. I figured it was like 15, but it's almost 20 minutes. The main event was 36. The co-main event was 34. This was slightly it was a couple minutes less than the Fatal 4-Way, which is kind of surprising. It's a little bit longer than the Never Open Weight match.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it went some time, but I don't know. I figured it would go longer. And so I actually snoozed the first, like, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. I still like the last 10 minutes. There were some really crazy spots. The one that really stuck out to me that freaked me out was the high fly flow from the top to the outside. And he hit, like, usually when you get a move like that, it's not so high on the guy because it looked like Jay White might have really screwed up his shoulder.
Oh, maybe.
But I don't think he did. I mean, he's young, you don't really get injured.
What do you think about Jay White's? Because I think we both thought that this was going to be a showcase match for Jay White. He'd take the loss but look good in defeat.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure they accomplished what they necessarily needed
to do. Yeah.
I mean, I
it would have needed another 10 minutes. It would have needed to be 30 minutes for that.
And he needed to be more vicious.
I agree.
I felt he's, 24? I feel like that character needs to be a little more grizzled.
You're absolutely right. Even in his, like, in the promo package leading up to it and his press stuff, it's just not there.
It's not there yet. The character work isn't there yet.
Yeah, like his voice is still kind of shaky a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he just... I don't know what kind of dude he is. He seems like a decent guy.
He's got the kindest face.
Yeah.
He's got the kindest face.
He's got a really calm, like, soothing, almost voice.
I know.
Just by appearance and sound of voice, it's like, he seems like he'd be a good dude.
And we've seen him live a small handful of times.
Yeah, PWG.
PWG, and then I think he was in a tag match of G1 Special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing also, is that he's a joy to watch in the ring.
Yeah, he is.
That
match at PWG against Skrull, he was doing some comedy stuff that was great.
Yeah.
He put the bird mask on. It was like he was transformed.
He's so much, like, he was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Switchblade character who, like, you know, looks like he goes around killing people.
Yeah.
Maybe it just doesn't fit him. Maybe it was just a big kind of misfire on.
It could be.
I mean, I could have I was thinking to myself when he was coming out, I was like, man, I'm just not sure. Like, I'm not sure I feel it. And then there was, like, I know Sammy Callahan was kind of teasing that he was Switchblade, like, months ago.
Yeah, Sammy Callahan is grizzled, yeah.
That dude is all grizzled. But then he goes in the ring, he starts kissing dudes. I'm not sure that's what they wanted for Switchblade. Anyways, I love Sammy Callahan, man. He's freaking great.
I like Jay White, too. I'm just not sure that the character is really connecting with him.
Because he's obviously supposed to be, like, you know, in spirit anyways, like an assassin. Oh, look at this guy. And he looks...
like a cold-blooded dude.
Yeah.
But you look at him, he doesn't look like a cold-blooded dude.
And, like, he's the Australian or New Zealand?
I forget. New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay. The accent it's such a sweet accent, even. Like, have you seen Flight of the Conchords? It's kind of one of the gags. The accent is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, you know. It's very stunning when he's in the ring and you hear him say, you know, "Mother effer, I'm gonna mess you up."
Yeah, you know. I just thought of this. You've seen Chopper, right, with Eric Bana?
Yeah.
Maybe he should watch that movie.
There you go. But even Eric Bana, I mean, I don't know how old Eric Bana was, but yeah, he came off like he was 40.
I know.
You know,
it's because he put on a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Anyways, the story of the match was good. It was Jay White going to the ring and saying, "So you're the ace."
Mm-hmm,
you're really the ace of this company.
Yeah.
Showing Tanahashi zero respect.
Yeah.
And as soon as he could, he starts working over.
Sorry.
He starts working over Tanahashi's bad knee.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it in, like, the barricade, kicks it, does all sorts of stuff to it. Pretty soon, Tanahashi has an opportunity to hit a dragon screw leg whip, does so. So both people are working each other's knees, legs. You mentioned the high fly flow to the outside. Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious. Tanahashi also hit a second rope twist and shout. I forgot to mention, I love this early on where Jay White would do something and Tanahashi would, like, kind of get up and do some air guitar in his face.
which kind of underscores what we're talking about. It's like, come on, man, just have some fun.
I know.
I know you like to have fun.
I know.
I've seen you before.
Yeah. Like they should have done air guitar together.
I know, exactly. Like I can see Jay White in like a Bill and Ted type role.
Yeah.
You know, he should have teamed up with Kushida, Time Travelers, you know, like a Bill and Ted.
That would have been great.
Exactly.
Jay White hit his Kiwi Crusher, which I guess was his finisher in Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
Tanahashi kicked out of that. Mm-hmm. Jay White went for Blade Runner, which that's what he's calling the Sister Abigail type move.
That's cool.
Tanahashi reversed that into a Dragon Suplex.
Okay.
See, this is the high fly flow that got me, is Jay White starting to stand up.
Oh, I hate
it. And then Tanahashi does it right in the small of his back.
I hate when they do that.
Ow!
I know, it looks like it hurts so bad.
And then Tanahashi hits another one to get the pin.
Mm-hmm.
So not a bad showing for Jay White. I don't know if they went as far with things as they probably should have. He should have been far more vicious.
Tanahashi's air guitar cracks me up. Because his face is so legitimately sincere,
yeah,
with the energy and love.
There's
thing.
No irony to it whatsoever.
There's zero irony to it. Exactly. Oh, man. He just wants to spread good vibes, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, I keep on thinking that. What was it, like a video of Tanahashi as Chun-Li from Street Fighter?
Oh, yeah. He seems like a good-natured dude.
I know. Exactly. Oh, man. Anyways, next up we had Chris Jericho
the first
versus
of
Density.
Our two main events.
Chris Alpha Jericho versus Omega.
When Jericho first came out, they had the pyro that went off to kind of emulate, and the font
mm-hmm.
of the video package was the same. The song came on. I was like, this really does not have the energy of his WWE song. Well, I was listening to it
yeah.
and like, oh, that's his song.
Yeah.
That's Judas.
Yeah.
When I got to the chorus, I realized, okay.
Yeah, I figured he'd come out to Judas. But no, I mean, dude, nothing has break the walls down.
No,
that's
nothing.
Iconic.
Yeah, it is.
They really should have been like, hey, Vince, just one time. Let me use that song, dude. Just let me. But then, of course, you know, he probably wants to promote his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
As you mentioned earlier, brutal, vicious.
Oh, my God.
It
was, dude, it was
bloody.
Like, it was like Kenny Omega, especially, was just itching for the moment to draw blood or
yeah.
to cut
oh,
himself.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you know?
But 10 minutes into it, I was like, I wonder if Kenny's going to bleed.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're both going to bleed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was kind of waiting for it.
Did Jericho end up bleeding?
No.
Okay.
Not intentionally. He got a cut in his leg.
Yeah.
No, sorry. That was for a different match from going through the table, but that wasn't this match.
Oh, wait. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Because
I noticed there was like a little cut on his butt or near his
yeah,
butt.
Yeah, that's what it's from the table spot. And I think he had some of Omega's blood on his,
okay, yeah.
on his brow.
But you could tell, dude, Omega was like really into the idea.
And you could really see him do it. Because he's down the mat, and he does this, and he's
yeah.
obviously holding something in his hand.
Right, exactly.
And they cut away from him while he's actually cutting.
Mm-hmm.
But then later
and
on...
And they cut away for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's a little
and
while.
And then later on, I swear, Jericho picks up something off the ground. So I was like, oh, is he grabbing Kenny's blade? Is he going to
yeah.
blade, too?
Oh, it could be, yeah.
But like, that's not
You don't want to be doing that.
You don't want to share a blade, that. Man.
Yeah,
that's what
no
I'm saying. Anyways, there's a lot of brawling. This match was pretty much all brawling.
Yeah.
There was a spot where... Kenny sends Jericho on the opposite side of the barricade to the commentary area. Does a springboard crossbody
yeah.
over
oh my
the
God.
Mat.
Yeah.
Aiming for Jericho, misses. He goes through the English announce table, takes out Don Callis.
And by the way, they still have those freaking ridiculous monitors with the rigid edges
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, from 1998.
And nobody's sitting there taking those out of the way.
No, he just has to aim right between them, which yeah. he more or less does.
Yeah.
So Jericho has the upper hand, and he's just kind of like terrorizing everybody in the ringside area. He slaps Red Shoes, puts Red Shoes' son, who's a young lion, apparently,
yeah.
in the walls of Jericho. And he's doing all this while Kenny's laid out.
Yeah.
He grabs another point in this match, he grabs one of the photographer's cameras, starts taking pictures, and puts his middle finger in front of the lens.
Doing this stuff. That was great.
He was a heat magnet this whole time.
Oh, yeah, big time. He was having so much. You could tell he was having
yeah,
so much fun.
You could tell he was having a blast.
Yeah.
Kenny comes to. They start brawling in the commentary area a bit. Kenny finds like a plastic table or uses a plastic table, lays out Jericho
mm-hmm.
At the bottom of one of the lighting stands. Oh, which Ospreay did a moonsault off of.
Oh, my
that match.
God. That's
that was,
right.
He
yeah.
was high up there, too.
Oh, man. That was rad.
Kenny climbs up the support beam
mm-hmm.
for the Tron and stuff over the ring, does a double stomp onto the table, which Jericho's underneath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was cool. That was neat.
Jericho sets up a table ringside, tries to powerbomb Kenny through it. Doesn't, but powerbombs him on the floor instead.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, those mats look really plush.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they look pretty
plush.
And
the ring is on a raised stage, which I'm sure is not, like, it's not concrete.
Yeah.
It's just wood. I mean, granted, wood can hurt still, but it's not the same as getting power.
I'm not saying the stuff doesn't hurt. I'm just saying when they hit those mats, I'm like, I kind of would prefer them hit the mats than the freaking the ring itself, because the mats are really thick.
Well, maybe there they are. WWE, they're not. WWE, they're about that thick.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about New Japan.
Yeah. Jericho reverses a Snapdragon to the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kenny's is crawling to the rope, but of course there shouldn't be a rope break because no DQ.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
And then he's digging around underneath the ring and grabs some spray of some sort. I couldn't tell what it was. And so he sprays Jericho in the eyes.
Yeah.
And then he starts spraying his hair and under his arms, and then goes down to his pants and sprays and makes a face, and the crowd laughs.
It was a weird mix of just sheer brutality.
And comedy spots.
And comedy spots.
There's just enough comedy interspersed throughout to keep things from getting too serious.
Yeah.
After that, Jericho shoves Red Shoes into Kenny. So Red Shoes is kind of incapacitated for a while. Earlier on, Jericho had set up a chair.
In the corner.
And then he just started throwing Kenny headfirst into it.
And he did it like, what?
Three times.
A bunch. I think it was even more than that, because at a certain point, they just kept on doing it. And that was the impetus for Kenny being busted
on the third
open.
One, Kenny got busted open. Kenny rebounded and started dropping tons of Snapdragon suplexes on Jericho.
Yeah.
And then Jericho takes that chair from out of the corner, which had already broken.
Yeah.
And like has one hand holding the seat onto the frame of it.
He's trying to keep it together, yeah.
And hits Kenny with it.
Oh, he annihilates him with it. Man. He absolutely annihilates him with it. There is and this, you know, it's the kind of thing where I think Kenny seems so geeked because it's so rare, I think, from what I understand, I've heard, that New Japan, A, will let people bleed.
Yeah.
Like, say, hey, you can go ahead and, you know, gig it. And then B, you know, it's not like you see, granted, a lot of the New Japan stuff can come off as very brutal, but they don't go as far as doing, you know, unprotected headshots. Well, mm-hmm. We got that here.
Yeah.
And granted, it was with a chair that seemed, you know, flimsy as can be.
Well, I mean, like when Kenny was being thrown into the chair that was in the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. He was going head first. He wasn't putting his hand
right
up,
exactly,
but he was kind of angling his head, so it was hitting like
yeah. And then like the chair was so flimsy, but still it's pretty shocking to see an unprotected headshot.
Yeah.
And it did come off like Kenny seemed, and Jericho for that matter, seemed pretty giddy at the prospect of, ooh, they're letting us do this match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I kind of feel like I could be wrong, I could be completely overlooking this, but it did kind of feel, I don't assume that New Japan would be, hey, let's take a shot at the WWE. But you have to admit, they took one of WWE's top guys over the past year or over the past 20 years and gave him probably his best match in 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I can look back at like him versus HBK and look at this, and it's like, this is what it looks like when a WWE guy is allowed to do something that's very creative, that mm-hmm. isn't just a cookie cutter match.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, what do we have? Something fantastic.
Yeah. Then Kenny starts dropping V triggers on Jericho. First, mm-hmm. Jericho's up in the top rope. Kenny gives him a knee. Mm-hmm. Through the table, Jericho goes.
Yeah.
And then after that, he hits him with three more knees and then a J-driller.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
And this match is just full of drama. It was great. And I love this spot where Jericho is up in position for one winged angel. Kenny's in the process of bringing him down.
Yeah.
And Jericho rolls through right into the walls.
And he sinks that in deeper than I've seen anybody get sunk into the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
Like he was bending him in.
Well, he actually, you know, usually in WWE he does it like a Boston Crab.
Right, yeah.
But this match, which he's done on occasion in WWE, he goes back to Lion Tamer style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he actually has his knee on the back of the person's head.
Right, yeah.
Like really bending him.
Yeah.
Kenny gets out of that. Kenny hits a one-winged angel, but is near the ropes. Jericho grabs the rope.
Which is, I mean, I'm assuming. Here's my thing. A couple people on Twitter were saying, yeah, this is bunk. This is no DQ. Why are there rope breaks? You just got to go with the flow sometimes and understand that, well, it's New Japan. I'm sure they have their own, you know, DQ rules.
Yeah.
But I mean,
no DQ just means no DQ. Someone still got counted out.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a count at one point, I thought. Mm-hmm.
But like in WWE, I think no DQ means there's no rope breaks there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Jericho pretty quickly after that hit a code breaker.
Again.
Kenny kicks out.
Like the best sell job for a code breaker. I mean, it just looked like it devastated Kenny. That's how it should be. It shouldn't be like, oh, I'm floating back It's like, dude, he crumbled.
Yeah, Kenny jumped into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
and when Jericho landed, I don't think any of Kenny's limbs were touching the ground.
Right, yeah. Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic. But in the end, Kenny takes the chair. This was great. He gets the chair away and is on kind of like right near the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets Jericho up in position for the One Winged Angel. As he does it, he's kicking the chair with his heel to the right spot in the ring. Drops Jericho on the chair.
It's such a Kenny. That's what I just absolutely love with his matches, is that you can always see his thought process in his frantic actions to position people to get what he wants. It's so much. It doesn't just happen. You can see him make it happen, and that's what makes him like a really special wrestler.
Yeah,
I loved at the end of this. So yeah, he hits the One Winged Angel on the chair, gets the pin, and I love Kevin Kelly's line after this. Says any critics of Kenny Omega can go straight to hell.
Yeah,
and that's obviously a shot at Jim Cornette, maybe some other people, but Cornette's been his most vocal critic.
Yeah,
And it's telling too because I tweeted out that quote.
Yeah,
with my take on it. And it's got, 500. It's by far, the biggest liked tweet of the night. So I think it resonated with a lot of people. Let's talk about Naito versus Okada.
Yeah. Sweet cape Naito came out in.
Yeah, man.
That was awesome.
I saw that was a wind face mask right there. But
he was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Can't top wind pants. Let's talk about Okada's pants.
Okay.
Those were spectacular.
No, man.
They were his robe distilled to pant form. We only get the robe for a short little bit when he comes out. We got to enjoy the splendor of his robe. I'm not going to Tranquilo. He won.
Tranquilo.
They were fantastic.
Tranquilo. Tranquilo. Just listen. I did a poll on Twitter.
I don't care about the poll.
I did. Whoa. You're writing off our friendos? Wow.
It's not going to change my opinion about how awesome those pants are.
All right. So here's the reason. Oh, wow. Holy crap. I am surprised because as of when I went to bed last night, I said it's the definitive New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 12 poll time. Okada bell bottoms. Yay, nay, or Tranquilo. 59% of the vote out of 1,131 people.
Good sample size.
Voted Tranquilo.
Okay.
So a good runaway vote was Tranquilo.
All right.
Yay, 21%. Mm-hmm. Nay, 20%.
There you go.
So bell bottoms squeaked by. I saw those.
There are more flares than bell bottoms.
And I saw his face. I screenshotted some of these amazing Twitter responses.
They weren't full on bell bottoms. They were flares. Like boot cut.
TJ Blankenship tweeted at us, Okada's got lose pants on. That's how I read it too, because his face, he's got the best poker face.
Yeah.
I can never really tell. For him, it just seems like one more task for him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Kjalfabe tweeted at us, legit picked him to win till I saw those mom jeans. they were goofy, man.
No, they were spectacular.
They were so goofy, but by the end, I understood what they were. And then somebody tweeted us a video of Milhouse saying, everything's coming up Milhouse. And this person said, literally Okada. And then somebody else, Holes me 93, and then this is Sin Q Nuno says he's got legs for days. And then by the end of the match, Justice Ray said, those are now wind pants.
Yep. That's what it was.
This is the great thing about this match. It was number one, it was a fantastic match. I'd be surprised if Meltzer gives it he might give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
It's not to the level of the trilogy of the Okada trilogy.
No, it's a different story they're telling.
No, it was a different story, and this is why I love the win by Okada here. Is I mentioned this earlier, that we're so used to the WWE style of doing things where, oh, it's his time now, let's roll with him. Naito's super popular, etc.
Top guy in Japan, selling the most merch.
This is why this works so well. And when you see Okada, when you look back at this win, because we're both convinced that Naito is going to win because of that mindset.
Yeah.
In life, in general, this is what I love about it. When you face challenge after challenge in whatever you're doing, your vocation, life itself, you get stronger. You add confidence to that thing.
Yeah, when you overcome struggle.
When you overcome struggle. Yeah. Okada, match after match after match, has overcome struggle. This match seemed like less of a challenge for him because of what he's faced in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at him at the beginning of this match, he's got the bleached blonde hair. He looks younger.
Yeah.
He had the bleached blonde hair.
It was like he's Okada reborn.
It was Okada reborn.
Because up to this point, he had kind of been doing the ashy
the gray
blonde
thing.
Hair. Yeah,
he was getting older. And I don't know if that was... I mean, look, the gray hair thing these days is like a stylistic choice, or the silver hair thing is a stylistic choice. However, thematically, it works perfectly for what they did with this.
Yeah.
Because... And in my opinion, the match to me that seemed hardest for him was Shibata.
Yeah.
Because Shibata was a guy who didn't really sell for people. I mean, he kind of did, but that was his thing.
Yeah.
Like, he was stiff. He was a stiff worker. He didn't really sell for people. And he freaking headbutted the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, Okada had like silver hair.
Yeah.
Which thematically, he started to look older.
Yeah, he did.
Match to match. Then he comes out and he's got, and this is why the pants work, because it's as if he's getting to the point where he's going to literally become the title.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we've said when he comes out, he looks like he's a walking title, a walking championship.
Yeah.
And so he's got like, now his legs are covered with championship.
Yeah.
And he's just becoming, like you said, Okada reborn.
Yeah.
And so it made sense for him to win, and it made sense of this match, although it was dramatic and full of tension, it made sense for him to win because of the 2017 that he had, overcoming challenge after challenge. He looked more confident. He looked more assured. He kicked out of Destino, once at least. I don't think he kicked out of two of them.
No, I think he just kicked out of the one.
I think he kicked out of the one. This made complete and total sense when you think about his actual story and how it relates to how these stories should play out.
Also, Naito had a couple points. If we're looking at it from the narrative of Okada being reborn and, you know, all that, Naito at a couple points in this match tried to hit his old finisher, or at one point tried to do it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hearkening to his past.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than looking forward.
Yeah. Exactly. And what was Okada doing? He was using new techniques that he's been developing over the past
Cobra
couple
clutch,
months.
Yep.
The Cobra Clutch, exactly.
Yep. Okada reborn.
Okada reborn.
Let's get into the meat of the match, though. Naito early on was working over Okada's neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first like third to half of this match was all about the neck.
Well, both of them were working each other's necks.
Exactly.
Naito hit like a neck breaker on Okada across the barricade.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it looked like it bent the barricade almost. Another neck breaker on the apron. Okada responds with a draping DDT off the barricade and then locks in the Cobra Clutch, working over the head and neck of Naito. Naito hits the second rope reverse Hurricanrana.
Hurricanrana
looks stiff again, working the head and neck. Okada kicks out.
Yeah.
At this point, it's when Naito hits. I think it's called Glory. I think that's what they called it. And then he goes for his old finisher when he was a Stardust Genius, a top rope move, and missed it. Then we get a Rainmaker!
Rainmaker! Naito kicks out.
Another Cobra Clutch sunk in for a little bit. Naito reverses it into Destino, but he's too exhausted, too beat up to make the cover.
Right.
It was pretty, like, you know, I'm going to go back to Okada's second match with Kenny, the time limit draw, where it seemed like it took 40 minutes for both competitors to really start showing signs of exhaustion.
Yeah.
That happened much earlier in this
match.
Yes,
it did. It did, absolutely.
Much earlier,
yeah.
Even though the pace wasn't really frenetic.
Yeah, and they sold. It wasn't frenetic, but it was maybe more consistent because it's not like they got a slow start off, but it wasn't a frantic start either.
No, but I mean, like, there was two spots where Okada had the Cobra Clutch on Naito for a while, and then at one point Naito had like a reverse cravat on Okada, which, you know, that it slows down the pace working a body part, but the pace of the match is slower.
Yeah.
The beginning of the match wasn't like they were both shot out of cannons by
it wasn't a shot out of a cannon.
There was a filling out period.
Yeah, but it also wasn't like a it was a feeling you out period, but it was there was action going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a lot of matches where they just sort of, you know, plod into it.
No.
This was, they started off at a certain pace, and they never backed off from that pace, but it wasn't as if they, it wasn't
a
sprint.
Well, they started at a certain pace, and they never really backed off, but then they built upon the pace.
Yeah.
It quickened as the match went on.
Yeah.
Naito, did I say that? Yeah. Naito reverses Cobra Clutch and Destino, but he can't make the cover. Too exhausted. Okada, faced with another Destino, reverses it to a Rainmaker, keeps wrist control.
Yeah.
Goes for another Rainmaker. Naito reverses that to Destino, but Okada kicks out.
Yeah, ooh.
Okada hits a tombstone, goes for another Rainmaker, but that's reversed into Destino. But rather than go for the pin, Naito picks him up.
Yeah.
Tries for another.
Yeah.
That's reversed into a tombstone. Okada hits one last Rainmaker for the win.
Gets the win. So how many Rainmakers did he hit? Three?
Three.
Okay, all right.
That seems standard at this point.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, for the big names anyways. Like, you know, Evil probably took one. I don't remember what
yeah,
Evil
maybe.
I
think one Shibata Evil. Took more than one.
Yeah.
Throughout the match.
Yeah.
And then
it was like the worst sell job. Well, I'm not going to say it's a bad, you know, that match, I always go back to that match, and it was a beautiful match. But like when he took the Rainmaker, it just looked like it looked like Shibata wanted to make it look real, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I just love when everybody does the massive flip thing, you know?
Oh, I know.
That's always
the
best. But no, I in retrospect, I saw this. I think I was kind of pulling for Okada because I like to see perfection.
You like to see greatness.
I do. And I at this point, Okada is so... I'm really anxious to see what they can do now with Okada Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
One of our friendos, Matthew E. Williams Esquire, on the Twitter said, you know, the match was great, but, you know, where does this leave Naito? And that's sort of the big narrative that I see on Twitter with a lot of the people who watched was, well, what could they do with Naito now?
Yeah.
1 year ago, we were thoroughly convinced, you know, knowing nothing about New Japan.
Nothing.
That Kenny Omega was going to win
the
title from Okada. And all year, we were like, well, what is he going to get his rematch? And look at Kenny Omega now. Is he languishing in the mid-card?
No.
No. They find things, compelling things, for these guys to do.
They do.
And with Naito, he's the most over guy. I'm sure they will find, you know, him and Jericho have been going back at it. I really hope that Jericho sticks around for a
little
bit.
He's supposed to be at New Year's Dash.
He's supposed to be at New Year's Dash. I hope that they sign him for some more stuff. I'm sure, I have no doubt they will find plenty of things, plenty of compelling things for Naito to do throughout 2017 or 2018.
To find, because they do sometimes have transcripts of...
No, that's
promos.
Right. His promo at the end. I have it here.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Karen, who knows Japanese, was giving me some of it, but then she linked me to, I think I screenshotted it here. Here we go. Chris Charlton, who does a lot of translations.
Yes.
So here's just a quick breakdown. Okada will do it with Naito again, and in the main event at Tokyo Dome, Okada has three. Oh, that was Gato. Gato praised Naito. I mean, there's nothing revolutionary here. Gato praised Naito. Okada said, I have 3 points to make.
Yeah, I got that part.
He says, first, he said, Naito, how was that Tokyo Dome main event? Gato says Okada will end this history-making event. I don't know what that means.
Seems like the tweets are out of order.
Yeah, I think they are. Let's see here. I think I screen capped. Come here.
Anyway, sometimes on New Japan's English language website, they'll transcribe promos. Maybe it's a little too soon.
Okay, so Karen said, Naito said, how was your first main event at Tokyo Dome? Let's do it again sometime. And then his third point, I guess, was this year he will not only rain money, but happiness, passion, and so much more. So it was a very uplifting promo. Okada Reborn!
Okada Reborn.
That was good. But anyways, I don't know. I thought it was a great wrestling.
I'm going to be way off base with this, but I'll say it. Here's something they can maybe do with Naito.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, in some respects, a step back, but they I'm sure they can find a fresh way to approach it. Tanahashi's beat the hell.
Mm-hmm.
He needs some time off.
Mm-hmm.
At least it seems like it.
Yeah.
Put the Intercontinental title back on Naito.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I know the heavyweight title's top belt.
Mm-hmm.
Intercontinental title is just barely a step below that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if there's a fresh way they can put that belt back on Naito and not just have him do the same thing he did before, as entertaining as it was,
yeah,
maybe there's storyline possibilities there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, whatever they do, whatever direction they go in, I have full confidence.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. It'll be compelling. And we won't even think about, this moment. What are they going to do now? I'll reiterate. A year ago, we were thinking to ourselves, well, what's Kenny going to do? And then there was all that hubbub of, oh, he's going to go to WWE. He's going to go to WWE. Mm-hmm. That's why he didn't win it. And look at him now. His stock has risen. It's even bigger. Granted, they invented a title for him, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
But even without that, like this Jericho Omega thing didn't need the title on the line. And look at how great it was. You know, these guys are super creative. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I give them
We're so used to short-term booking.
Yeah. Yeah.
From what we understand, they book way ahead.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
To those of us who are somewhat frustrated, because I wanted Naito to win. I like Naito a lot.
Yeah, sure, of course, absolutely.
Like, a lot of people thought it was his time.
It was his time, yeah.
Tranquilo.
If the plans are for him to win it down the line, which I'm sure they are,
yeah.
I'm much more interested in him. Dude, if Gato was looking to make Okada the next Bruno, number one, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to know what kind of story they want to tell with that.
Yeah.
And number two, it just means whoever takes that title off him, that's going to be a huge, monumental, massive moment. So I'm really looking forward to it. Anyways, that's it. That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks again for everybody that was staying up late with us, live tweeting with us.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
Hilton, I know you loved Wrestle Kingdom. Can we get some out music, please?
Yes, please, Hilton. Music.
Thank you, Hilton. Tranquilo, Hilton. You'll have your time. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.